Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Katie McDee, everybody.
How many of you had a long day at work? Clap it up. Bad day at work? How many of you are single or hate the person that you're with? All right. There's something, it's like Max. I'm going to need a little audience participation for this one. So, it's going to be really easy because it's call and response. That means I sing something and you sing it right back. Okay, I'm going to sing. I don't want to be with you anymore. Can you guys do that? Let's just do a test run right now. It's really easy. It's like one note three times in a row and then a little I don't want to be with you anymore. Can you guys do that? I don't want to be with you anymore. All right, that's all right. Not great, but...
That's as good as it's going to get.
My man is on a date in the front row. He's like, yo, say this shit.
Hey, guys.
Sing it.
Okay, so first verse, I don't want to be with you anymore. Second verse, I don't want to love you anymore. Third verse, I don't want to know you anymore. Got it? Okay. I don't want to be with you anymore. No, I don't want to be with you anymore. Don't want to hear your voice or see your face or lick my lips and feel your taste. Oh, I don't want to be with you anymore. Ready? I don't want to love you anymore. No, I don't want to love you anymore. Don't want to know your heart or know your ways or feel your breath upon my face. So I don't want to love you anymore. I don't want to know you anymore. There's something wrong with this. No, I don't want to know you anymore. Because you write the word love on the wall, it's sex misspelled, it ain't love at all. Oh, I don't wanna love you anymore. First verse again. I don't wanna be with you anymore. No, I don't wanna be with you anymore. Don't wanna hear your voice or see your face or lick my lips and feel your taste. Oh, I don't wanna be with you anymore. All right.
Keep it going! Welcome to the Wonderland Ballroom, everybody! And welcome to You, Me, Them, everybody live! Hooray! Tonight's guests include TNT's Michael Soretsky, stand-up from Rachel Dry, also stand-up from John F. O'Donnell, color commentary with Haywood Turnipseed Jr., also, showbiz mainstay, Andrew Bouquet. And music from Katie McDee. I am your announcer, Jamel Johnson, of course. And please give a warm round of applause to your host, Mr. Brandon Weatherby!
You got my name right. He's got my name wrong in the past. Katie, that was delightful. That was a wonderful way to start the show. It summed up everything that this show is. We need to paint a picture for the listener at home. This is being recorded. There's a fan not 5 feet from me that will inevitably fall down and and murder someone in the 10-foot vicinity of me. I don't know if the mics are picking it up, but it's really clear to hear from 15 feet away. It's just a click, click, click. This is going to murder someone. I look like Don Draper at the end of a bender right now. It's currently the best possible temperature outside, and in this room, it looks like purgatory. So thank you all for being in here. This means a lot to me. This has been the longest time I've ever gone without doing a talk show since I started doing a talk show. The last show was 7 weeks ago. Since then, my lovely wife and I went on our honeymoon, and it was great, and I will not talk about any of that. This week, I interviewed 4 people. Katie, what are you doing? That's not professional. Don't fix it. It was perfect before. Should I cut this out of the podcast, or should I put it at the top of the podcast?
Put it right in there.
Put it in there. I like you. I like you a lot. All right, anyways, I interviewed 4 very different people this week, and I learned a lot about myself. The first person I interviewed is this sort of famous, not journalist. She writes for Vanity Fair, and she like went on tour with the Rolling Stones in 1975 and went on tour with Led Zeppelin in 1972 and really believes that Eminem's Recovery should have won the Album of the Year in 2010, even though Arcade Fire's record was way better. And by that point, Eminem was like bloated and fat and shitty anyways. She's that kind of person. We did not get along, as one might assume, because she didn't understand that the music industry is wrong and she's part of what's wrong, and she didn't want some 31-year-old asshole telling her entire career was a fucking joke and the problem. You're the problem, you know? You're the problem. That's why great bands that you've never heard of, because you're in a fucking jet with the Stones. Who the fuck? It didn't go well, is what I'm saying. So that's what I learned, that I'm not supposed to interview that type of person. And then I interviewed this wonderful, wonderful author who wrote this amazing book about the Chelsea Hotel. And she's a great person, and I really enjoyed my time, and I highly recommend that you read that book. But she believes in ghosts and magic, and that's not the thing. Come on! She believes in ghosts and magic, and that's why it's okay for Janis Joplin to do all the coke and die. Don't do all the coke and die. Do a moderate amount of coke and be Queens of the Stone Age. They're a good band. They still like drugs. What the fuck? Don't go to rehab. Fucking live it up moderately and make sure things work. That's not hard to do. I interviewed the lead singer of the Eels, and this was a very big deal to me. I'm completely serious. I am a very big Eels fan because I have feelings, and they write songs with feelings, and a lot of those songs have 3 chords, and I fucking love it. World of Shit is one of my favorite songs of all time. So I interviewed the man a la Chris Farley show style and go, hey, World of Shit, how'd you write that? With fucking words and music. That's how you write any goddamn song. This is my great question for this man I love and respect. It didn't go well. Interview could be found this week on Brightest Young Things. I'm very proud of that. I get paid to do this. Finally, I interviewed Lydia Lovelace. Now, Lydia Lovelace is a country artist that I hope everyone in this room and listening knows about. She's absolutely fantastic. She's on the Bloodshot Records label out of Chicago. And she just writes the best, like, contemplative, sad, I really shouldn't have done wrong to a woman and or man type of songs. Her and I got along famously. Why? Because she's 24, I'm 31, and all we talked about was drinking. That's a problem. Either I have a problem or everyone else in the world has a problem, and that's why I'm doing this talk show in purgatory rather than enjoying time with my lovely wife outside where it's literally heaven. This is where the idea of heaven comes from. But I'm in here with you, and I'm forever grateful for that. Forever grateful, like I'm fucking dying. By the way, am I Patch Adams? Am I basing my life as Patch Adams? I don't know anymore. I'm very happy to be here. I had to talk slow, by the way, when I interviewed the author of the Chelsea Hotel book because it was 65-year-olds in the audience. That was it. It was 65-year-olds and me. It didn't go well. That's what this talk show is, guys. It's that, but for 90 minutes, it's going to be a fantastic time. We got Jamel here to slow me down. We got Katie here to play wonderful music. And I want to point out, before we go any further, if you saw the Facebook invite for this show, I didn't use our normal posters, though our normal posters are amazing. These two artists, Ned and Bill, please check them out. It'll be linked in the podcast description. Instead, I had a pillow advertise this show. Now, why a pillow? Here's why. I got really smart once, and I tweeted at Andrew WK, and he tweeted back at me. And to commemorate this glorious achievement of a 31-year-old male's life, I put on Facebook, could anyone make this into a quilt for me? Someone made this into a pillow for me. Her name is Rachel. She's in the room right now. I hope this is not making you feel uncomfortable in any way. But she, this is turning into an ad for what she does. But honestly, if you've taken one thing from this show, do a moderate amount of drugs and get this pillow. It's this company called Stitchtagram. I'm completely serious. They will turn your Instagram or Twitter message or whatever the fucking dumb idea you have into this wonderful keepsake memento that my cat Orange sleeps on. Her name is Orange. So it's the one, I just want to thank her for being here and thank her for making that wonderful poster. If anyone's actually smart, they will hire her to make them pillow posters because that's just great. Ooh, that's a weird, that could be a weird sex thing. If you have to have sex on a pillow with your poster on it, that's going to be an expensive fetish that you could supply. I think this is a great show. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together once again for Katie McDee, everybody. Do your thing, Katie. I think that was too good because it kind of summed up how everyone felt about the monologue. That was a really good song. Thank you, Katie. Jamel, how are you?
I'm straight. How are you, man?
Bring in the energy.
I am fantastic.
That's the third different voice you used tonight.
I got many voices. People,
let's hear another one.
Look, dude, I got a, hey, it's over here, all right?
What is that? Wait, what is that? What is that?
It's a
Queens?
It's a little bit of Queensy holding my penis.
Give me another one. That's all the voices
shit.
You have.
You
had sort of a British voice for your own name during the intro. Why?
Because I'm classy and European. All right. What the fuck?
Classy and European. This is the first time I've seen you in probably 6 months that you have nothing sports-related on body.
And this will be the only time.
Why?
I'm here today. I don't know. Honestly, because all my sports shit is dirty. This is the last. This is the last clean outfit I could put together.
That's a clean outfit.
Yeah, this is all.
How
clean.
Would for the listener at home? How would you describe your outfit?
It's very red and gray.
It's Dan from Roseanne.
Dan from Roseanne.
You look like Dan from Roseanne, his home outfit. That's not even the going out Chicago Bears hoodie. That's just at home.
Nah,
Rosie's
but
making
I'm
a meatloaf.
Going out because my sleeves ain't tucked all the way in. I rolled them up, but only halfway to let you know I'm artistic.
No, you just...
What?
Wait, okay.
Incorrect, sir.
I don't like that
sir.
The first guest of the evening just called our announcer autistic. That's incredibly... No. You're going to be on stage in literally 30 seconds. Shut the fuck up right now. You need to apologize to Jamel. You made him feel bad. You don't need to insult yourself.
You didn't have to say you were an idiot.
Why do you got to say you're an idiot? You're a very smart man.
It's fine, man. I didn't... It is a play on words. I respect wordplay. I do.
I like foreplay and wordplay.
See what he said?
Cutting this out of the podcast.
Fair enough.
I need to put my button on. I started the show without my button. And I think it suffered because of it.
Psh, man. How you gonna tell me you derailing your own damn program over some buttons?
It's a good... Did you see the button? It's a Pat Foley commemorative Blackhawks pin button.
I mean, it's a sharp button. I'm
That's
not
right.
gonna front on you, but...
I missed you, and I'm glad that you're in this room with me.
I miss you too, Weatherbeans.
You know what? No one ever called me Weatherbeans growing up. No one!
What the fuck is wrong with those kids, man?
I agree. Write, tweet, hashtag, what the fuck is wrong with them kids? No one's going to do that. It's a very long hashtag. I
sitting
up.
With your legs crossed is very uncomfortable. I don't know how you guys do it.
Who
reading
are you
books, got your legs
coming
crossed,
to the stage so. is a dear friend of ours. He's a DJ, and more importantly, he's a good human being. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Michael Soretsky, everybody. Play him on, Katie. Or not. You completely fuck that up. You completely fuck. No, you made it better. You made it better. I take it back. This is perfect.
Very nice.
Perfect. Welcome to the Addams Family, Michael. Say something, Michael.
Let's get spooky.
Okay, this is why you're a DJ. Okay, you're a DJ.
I am, yeah. That's what I do as a hobby, I guess.
As a hobby. Let's not talk about your day job because it's kind of like...
It's kind of lame.
Should we say what it is?
Nah, it's fucking so DC. It's fucking stupid.
It's very DC.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
But what you do at night is not very DC, and that's why it's good.
Yeah, I mean, it's like probably my real passion in life, honestly.
That's depressing. So your nightlife is your real passion. Your day job is just soul-sucking.
Yeah. My day job is soul-sucking, but my nightlife is soul-inducing.
That's nice. Okay, now what do you do? Why are you on this show?
I collect soul records, and I play them out and try to make people dance.
And you do a very good job with it. The name of your show is not your name of your show. The name of your night is TNT.
I do a monthly night in D.C. called TNT. Yeah.
And don't you occasionally go to Brooklyn with that?
Yeah, sometimes I do Brooklyn. Sometimes I do Chicago. Sometimes I do other cities around the U.S. or elsewhere.
Let's talk about airlines. Do you get miles when you travel?
Depends on what I'm traveling for.
For work. Let's go with work. Number one day job.
Yes, I get miles for traveling for work.
What is your preferred airline?
Oh, shit. Well, you know, I have a really good hookup with Delta, so I like Delta.
Would you recommend that I go to Delta? American is not doing me right.
Delta gives you really good points, but...
I like that.
You know, some people say that Delta stands for do not expect luggage to arrive, so...
So you're saying if you check... You're fine.
If you check, you're fucked.
You're fucked.
Yeah, you got to bring on, dog.
Okay, this is perfect. This is a perfect start to an interview. Couldn't be better. Okay, TNT is at Hades.
TNT is at Hades.
For the people that, both in this room and listening at home, TNT at Hades, Hades is a Latin American restaurant.
Correct.
Not very good. Probably 2.5 on a Yelp.
No bueno.
No good. But you make it good.
Yes. I think once a month we try to bring a little bit of a different feel to the bar, yeah.
When you're deciding, hey, I have a very good day job, maybe I should DJ in a Mexican restaurant, what do you think is going, what's going through your head in that point?
Well, it's a really interesting story. I mean, I've been in D.C. now about 10 years, and I'd always gone to Hades as like a late-night food establishment. And I went in there about three...
Wait, when you say late-night food establishment, you mean you're drunk and there's food here?
I'm drunk as shit, and I'm trying to eat some empanadas or some burritos or some shit. You know?
Yeah. Do they even have empanadas?
No, they don't. I'm making shit up.
Yeah.
I went in there one night about 3 years ago, and there was just some guy sitting in a corner, like pressing play and stop on a laptop playing salsa music, and there was nobody in there. And I looked down on the floor, and there was like a perfect wood floor, and it was a sizable space. And I decided to go up to the owner of the establishment, Haiti, interestingly enough. The place is called
Is that
Hades.
Interesting?
Yeah.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
Good.
Oh, yeah. One would never guess that the name of the bar is named after the owner. Anyways, went up to the owner and said, do you have DJ nights here? And she said, si. And I said, do you have DJ nights here? She said, si. And I said...
So your racist is what we're establishing.
No. No. No, but she didn't understand what I was saying. I was like, do you have parties here? And she said, oh, like, you want to book a party here? I was like, not for myself. Like, I want to, like, invite a bunch of friends. She's like...
Wait, that's still a party for you.
Well, no. I was like, I want to invite a bunch of people. That maybe a lot of motherfuckers that I don't know.
That's better.
Yeah.
And did she understand that? I want to book a bunch of motherfuckers.
What happened was I emailed back and forth with her, and I happen to have a friend from Spain who collects the same music as I do. And it went on for about like 2 months of email correspondence and nothing panned out. And I said, my friend Manolo, who does TNT with me, I said, Manolo, you should come to Hades with me and speak to Haiti. And he went in there and charmed her. And hence...
When you say charmed, do you just mean spoke Spanish?
He spoke Spanish.
And is that really all it took?
Man, yeah. I grew up in Texas and no...
You grew up in Texas?
No Auntiando, man.
Where in Texas did you grow up?
I'm from Dallas.
How is Dallas?
Dallas is kind of boring, honestly.
Yeah. Okay. So your requirements for the perfect spot to DJ is a floor.
Yes.
Space.
Check.
And a guy that's playing with a laptop.
No, because we play 45s only.
Okay. Why do you like the sound of needles scratching things?
Well, I think in the soul scene, both domestically and across the world, they place a premium on having the original medium.
Why is that? Serious question there.
Well, because it's kind of, I don't want to say it's competitive, but it's such that if you dig hard and you find records and you have the record, then you're entitled to play it.
Now, I could vouch for his, if you've never been to his night, I could vouch for his stuff. He actually goes on like record finding expeditions. Didn't you go to New Orleans and...
Yeah, last year I dig all over the place, but I did find my way into a really insane attic in New Orleans that most of the collection of these records had been brought up to this attic right before Katrina. And the first level of this establishment had been a record store for about 20 years. And right before Katrina happens, the owner, the proprietor of this establishment, hired a bunch of people to like bring basically about 100,000 45s up into the attic. And now it's like full of pigeon shit and dust and dirt. And
100,000 records?
Yeah, 100,000 45s.
Does this place have insurance?
You know what? Based on like how many people they like come in there, like, and just like, you know, it's a very hush-hush kind of thing. I don't know. I think it's a very like under the table kind of thing. So the guy's probably just like making money and not reporting it. So I doubt he has insurance.
Do you think it's safer to have a coke habit or to go dig for records in strange cities that you're not familiar?
I plead the fifth.
Fair enough. That sounds incredibly dangerous, both fun and dumb.
I like to do dumb things, and oftentimes those are fun things.
Okay, why should people give a shit about this stuff? I love it. Sell me on this, though. If I don't know what it is, how would you get somebody to come to
what you should
nice?
Do is you should get hand me that pen and tell me to sell you the pen.
Sell me the pen.
Soul records are awesome because soul music is essentially one of the most emotional and heartfelt genres of music. I'm just fucking with you.
Did you just pull a magic trick that I don't understand?
Yeah, dude, I just like completely like circumvented this entire fucking scheme. I think soul music in general is one of the most emotional and heartfelt genres of music, but it's also one of the most danceable forms of music that I think a lot of people can connect with, no matter what generation you are, you know, as a human being in the United States in particular. I mean, I grew up going to bed when I was 6, 7, 8 years old listening to oldies music, and it wasn't really until I was in my early 20s that I came back to that sound and really figured out that, yes, this is something that like I can continue to connect with and want to like share with other people.
Was it a certain artist or song that like flipped the switch on you?
You know, I've always been into Motown. I've always been into the Motown sound, Detroit, but I, you know... I mean, my father's from Detroit, my mother's from Chicago.
Then why were you in Dallas?
Because they were fucking shitheads and decided to like meet in Dallas and establish their life there.
Do you still talk to your parents?
Oh, yeah, even though they're shitheads.
Fair enough. Is there any DC soul artist that people need to know about that might be overlooked?
Oh, yeah, I mean...
Give me one.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of DC soul and funk that is just completely off the radar that people don't know about. I mean, there's some big names, but even big names in the soul and funk scene don't have the cred that they should that other soul scenes have, like Chicago, Detroit, Philadelphia. I mean, I have to plug Joe Quarterman, who is...
Joe Quarterman?
Joe Quarterman, yep. Joe Quarterman played... and a lot of 60s DC soul bands. He played horns, and then he also was a singer in his own right and had a solo career in the 70s and once the sound went from soul into funk.
Perfect. Now, your TNT is what night of the month?
TNT is typically the last Saturday of every month. Sometimes we have a little bit of wiggle room to change.
Lovely.
That around.
And aren't you doing other DJ nights as well?
I'm doing DJ nights here and there at Showtime Bar, Soul Call Paul. If you guys know Soul Call Paul, he owns Showtime Bar at First Rhode Island Northwest. You should check it out.
When's your next night there?
My next night is tonight.
Perfect. So I'm just completely. So after this, if you want to hear the exact opposite music of what will be in here,
then you should
room,
go to Showtime.
You go to Showtime.
Yes.
People should find you guys. Your Facebook invites are probably the best way to find you.
Yeah, we only do Facebook. We don't fuck around with all the other shit.
Don't ever go to their shows because apparently they'll never run out of a crowd and everyone is incredibly loyal and never moves from D.C. Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much.
Perfect. Thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having
Ladies
me.
Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for my wedding DJ, Michael Soretsky, everybody. Katie McD, play him off, please. That last note was perfect. Sound like a big fart. An angry fart. I'm very excited to have this next performer here.
Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Rachel Dry, everybody. Rachel, come to the stage. Do your thing.
Thank you. That was nice. Brennan's wedding DJ was here. I'm actually celebrating an anniversary tonight. I'm happy we could all be here with me on this special evening. Yeah, it's been a year since I gave a yoga studio my email address and credit card information. They emailed me to let me know about that. One of the better emails that they've sent me, actually, because the rest of them just let me know how my life isn't measuring up. Like, first of all, who's going to yoga? Second of all, like, stop offering me deals I can't take advantage of, like couples yoga, prenatal yoga, yoga for new pet owners, yoga for people who are pre-approved for a mortgage. Like, where is the 15% off offer for yoga for people who compulsively check their email in case the guy they went on two promising dates with 6 months ago gets back from the part of the world where there is no internet? But instead, all they have are emails from a yoga studio. Yeah. My dating life is awesome. My mother asked me recently, she's a little disappointed in it, which is fair, and she asked me recently, what do you think your type is? Someone like Dad? Which, like, what is the right answer to that question? Like, yes, Mom, like a happily married 71-year-old man. Is there a decades-long partnership I could break up? Like, do you know anybody? I have an important question I'm gonna ask you. You don't have to answer out loud, just like look within your soul and find the answer. How often do you think about Beyonce? And do you think it's enough? So, just think on that one. I was playing Beyonce's Grown Woman video on repeat the other day while reading my ex-boyfriend's fiance's Facebook page. Because I'm a grown woman and can do whatever I want. And I clicked on this link she'd posted. It was a TED Talk. Do you guys know what TED Talks are? Yeah, they're like self-help books if what you need help with is you don't like reading books. And you just want platitudes talked at you by somebody wearing a headset microphone. This was a TED Talk on happiness, and I clicked on it because in that moment I could have used a little boost. And I recognized the guy. This talk has been viewed almost 8 million times, and it is being given by the man who was my resident advisor my freshman year in college when I was not at peak happiness. I explained this to my mother, the same mother who was critical of my dating life. I said, yeah, he was like responsible for my mental well-being, and now he's this happiness guru. And he was, and she said, well, he did not do a very good job back then, which is true. My main memory from freshman year of college is I spent half the year trying to make out with my best friend and the other half listening to him slowly come out of the closet. Like, both activities that took place on my futon. Anyway, and this guru was right there, and he could have helped me, and he didn't. So I bought his book because I felt cheated. I was like, I'll get some of his wisdom later. And the main, he says he got interested in happiness research because he spent so much time with depressed college students. And I was like, you're welcome. And this is true. I'm not making this up. On Sunday, this man is going to be on Oprah. Oprah still has a show. It's called Super Soul Sunday. He will be on it, my freshman RA. So I guess what I'm saying is me, like, talking my general misanthropy at you could mean that in 13 to 14 years, you will be in the same room with Oprah. Like, it happened this one time. It could happen again. Unrealistic expectations for everybody. That was my Oprah impression, guys. For the podcast listeners, it was very convincing. I will share this with you. I'm feeling a little bit happier in my life these days. In the last year and a half, I've actually lost more than 80 pounds. Yeah, no, you can clap. I did it mostly so people, like strangers, would clap at me. So you should probably clap. I also did it so I could die like less soon and less alone. I don't know if you've ever tried to make a major life change. It's horrible. Probably you have, because we're all alive in the world and self-loathing is kind of our lingua franca. And if you're wondering if that is the most obnoxious way I could have tried to relate to us all as human beings, the answer is yes, it is. But like, I already gave up gluten. I'm not giving up being pretentious. Like, change is hard, guys, one thing at a time. There's a bright spot in the weight loss experience, and that's Zumba class. I don't know if you know, Zumba is just like a really great combination of Latin dance and abject humiliation. And it's been actually a journey of self-discovery for me. Like, I've discovered the single most awkward moment of eye contact it's possible to have with a human being. It's when you're doing this. Just hip thrusting to Shakira. The best part of Zumba is the music, of course. My favorite song is the single that Lil Jon recorded for Zumba class. He had some time between seasons of Celebrity Apprentice, I guess. It just goes like this. It goes, work your body, work your hips, work your body, work your hips. And you do it because Lil Jon's telling you to do it. And at the end, it just goes, Zumba. And like, you hope that Lil Jon's in on the joke, but he might not be. So obviously, when I heard Lil Jon go, Zumba, I had to download it. And I don't know if you've made any judgments about me in the short time I've been talking to you, but like, I don't own a ton of the Lil Jon oeuvre. Like, probably because I just called it an oeuvre. But I went to look for this song the other day in my iTunes, and I just typed J-O-N. So what came up first, of course, was Joni Mitchell. And then the Lil Jon song I was looking for. And then the 2004 Usher song, Yeah, where, if you'll recall, Lil Jon had the beat that would make your booty go. Yeah, yeah. He had it then, guys. And I was like, wow. Here Lil Jon is today, helping me work off the accumulated mistakes of a decade. And like, there he was a decade ago, helping me make those same mistakes. Lil Jon has really been on a journey with my booty. I felt this like profound sense of gratitude. Lil Jon. While we're talking, I'll just talk briefly about music we might be embarrassed to have on our iTunes playlist. You guys all know who Kesha is, right? You're human beings. You know, so I'm going to talk about something else, but just keep Kesha like front and center in your mind's eye, where she should always be. I have a hard time making decisions in life. Like when I go out to eat, if the server says they're out of something, I feel genuine relief because that's like one less thing to decide on. And also it helps me deal with my white liberal guilt because like I don't get everything I want in life handed to me on a silver platter. Like sometimes they're out of scallops. Sometimes they are. It's true. It's true. Jamel knows. Jamel knows that happens. Like, life is tough, I guess, is what I'm saying. I was at the eye doctor trying to pick out new glasses frames. I'm wearing contacts now, so I'm wearing glasses, and I was having trouble deciding, as previously discussed. And the guy there was trying to help me. And I should point out, I was in like a well-lit place where people fix vision professionally. So the guy stares at me for a minute and he goes, hey, has anyone ever told you you look like Kesha? In the face. So like, just for the record, in the face. Just for the record, the answer to that question is no. But I liked what he was doing. He was like, you and I both know you don't have a pop star's body, but you got a little something sick and sexified going on right up here. And I wanted to tell you about it. I was like, man, what a weirdo. I want to see the world through his rose-colored glasses. And I can now, because he sold them to me. Guys, thanks so much. You've been
fun. Rachel Dry, everybody. Take a seat. Perfect. Yep. What if the ex-boyfriend's fiance had posted the same Beyonce video you were watching?
I mean, we both have good taste, I guess. Can I say something about being on a podcast?
Please.
I was thinking about. Okay, so I moved to DC 10 years ago, like next week, basically. That's it. Yeah. Sorry, let's just take a little John break, guys.
Sorry.
Picture a lot of women of all shapes and sizes shaking their hips.
Sorry.
Stop
just,
picturing it.
Stop.
I painted enough of a picture.
You were saying.
So I moved to DC, and it was the first time I was here, and I went to this book party, and I was standing by the cheese plate, because, like, I know where to stand at a party.
Of course.
And this older gentleman came over to talk to me, and he asked me, like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, I'm trying to be a journalist. And I probably said it like that. And he was like, oh, this is 2004. He goes, I have one word for you. Podcasts. And I was like, okay. All right, buddy. Of course, I didn't do it at all. And it's like he knew the future. He knew that there were going to be so many ways to, like, give things away for free to people on the internet. Ways we hadn't even thought of in 2004. And I'm just
he thought of it.
Yeah, he thought of it. I'm just, like, really happy now to be here in the future, Brandon.
So this was the dream realized.
This is the dream realized. Maybe we should get different dreams. I don't know.
I want to apologize to you, because the last time I saw you was at a shitty open mic I used to host.
Was it?
Probably.
Well, I'm sure you were a gentleman.
No, I wasn't.
No?
Well, so I was apologizing.
All right.
You're very good.
Apology accepted.
I got to stop judging people on the 5 minutes that they don't really want to do at open mics.
Oh, your apology is you're telling me I saw you and I thought you were terrible.
No,
I didn't.
No.
Now that you've clarified.
No. My apologies.
Let me.
I shouldn't have judged you in any way.
No, I think I got it right. I think I interpreted what you were saying correctly. And, okay, apology accepted.
Thank you.
Apology accepted.
I don't know where to go from there. You're funny.
Okay.
Jamel, you got anything?
Nah, man, that scallop shit was hilarious.
I mean.
I don't think we're going to top that. Do you have anything to say?
Just thank you. I mean, we're living the future, guys. That's what I'm saying. And it was sort of like that he used the same plastics formulation, right? It's the, I have one word for you. Isn't that The Graduate? How do they say it in The Graduate? Am I right? I'm right. He's looking at me like I'm wrong. And I was like, I didn't know people said that in real life. And they do. So, Brennan, I have one word for you. Podcasts. Thank you for having me.
You thought that was going to... Your act was so good, and then we did that. I feel like I let you down.
No, I think me calling you out for being rude and judgmental to me.
I called me out for being rude and judgmental.
I think that
you
also
didn't need
went
to do
well.
That. I was already on the track with, like, boy, I was a dick. I shouldn't have been like that. And then you were just, like, three steps ahead. We're like, yeah, you were a dick. It's like, I know we were getting to that.
It's
I was
okay.
trying to build
it's
even
okay.
more.
I was three steps ahead there. You were steps ahead on the podcast.
Yeah, me and that guy.
We come just, out. It I comes out even.
Does it?
Yep.
I don't know.
Thanks for having me.
There's no cheese plate here. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Rachel Dry, everybody.
Perfect.
Hold on a second. That's better. I wanted it in a higher key. That's what I was saying. I'm very, very excited to have this new person here. And when I say new person, I mean he just moved to D.C., and I have no idea why. He's a very funny individual, and I saw him in cities that are not this. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for John F. O'Donnell, everybody.
Thank you. Hey, everybody. How are you? Yeah, I moved here. I got a job, man. I got a comedy job. Yeah. 14 years I've been doing comedy, guys. I got my first comedy job. There was like a good pause where you're like, we don't give a fuck, and then you clap. There was first your honest response, and then you're like, all right, fine. It's cool. I'm sure I'll plug it like an egomaniac in the talk part. Yeah, man, I'm John F. O'Donnell, dude. It's pretty sweet. Like all of you, I've been listening to a lot of Ice Cube solo work from the early 90s. I can vibe a crowd. I know what I'm dealing with. Ice Cube was crazy back then. He was pretty out of his mind. His lyrics were pretty grandiose. In one of his songs, this is what he sings. He goes, "They killed JFK in 63, so what the fuck you think they'll do to me?" Nothing. Put you in shitty movies with children? I don't know, man. I don't know, Mr. Cube. Certainly not assassinate you, bro. Aren't you doing Coors Light commercials and shit? Yeah, man. I was just living in Brooklyn. I like to hear snippets of strangers' conversations out of context. I especially love when the thing being said is so crazy I can't even figure out what the context could possibly be. I heard a guy say this. He goes, "You know, if that plane crashed, I would have made a lot of money, man." What? How, man? How would you have made a lot of money if that happened, man? Are you some sort of demented gambler who's placing long shot bets on planes crashing, dude? Like some sort of monster? "Yeah, what's our odds? Can you give me this direct flight from Seattle, Washington to Burlington, Vermont, crashing due to engine failure, leading to the untimely death of over 100 innocent souls? 9.2 million to one. I'd be an asshole not to take that bet. I'd be an asshole not to do it. Oh yeah, I got an inside tip from the Weather Channel. This one's going down. Blah, 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 blah." That guy's a real piece of shit. That guy I made up is a real piece of human garbage. But am I a better person than him? I don't know. I like to think so. But the evidence might point in a different direction. I picked up a girl last week because she was crying outside a bar. What does that say about me? I was like, oh great, that's my demographic. Good to know. They don't call me the rock bottom kid for nothing. Bang, 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 bang a lot, bang, 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 bang. Hey girl, your life going poorly? Bang, 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 bang. Get over here, I'll sweep up the pieces of your broken heart. Bang, 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 bang a lot, bang, 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 brr, 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 I wanna fuck you like an animal. I wanna feel you from the inside. Yeah, man. Nah, chicks are into me. It's cool. You guys into threesomes? Yep. I know who I'm dealing with here. I've had some threesomes over the years. It's cool. They've never gone well. I had one a while back, and it was me, a girl, another girl, pretty hot. One of the girls was straight, but when she drinks, she gets kind of bisexual. And the other girl was a complete lesbian who wanted nothing to do with me throughout. So it was all about the one, I suppose. I remember at one point during it, I reached up my hand to grab this perfect, voluptuous, floppy lesbian breast, and she just swatted my hand away. So that was the first one. And then the second one wasn't too long ago, and it was me, a girl, and another guy. What? What? Don't worry, he was a good friend of mine. It wasn't weird. It actually didn't feel weird. There was no boner rubbish going on or anything like that. And how about this? I think it's tough to be a woman these days in American art culture. And maybe sometimes a woman deserves to be loved on and serviced and pleasured by not one but two men at the same time who can exalt her up and put her on the earth goddess Gaia mother pedestal she deserves after hitting on her in a bar and playing pool for an hour. Because that's what we did. Then we took her back to her place. Real classy. And then we're going at it. We start kissing her at the same time. And she goes, two? We go, yes, two. Go with it. You deserve it. And then we're getting into it, and it's awesome. But here's the thing, you guys. I didn't realize after I orgasmed how much longer they were going to continue having sex. It was a long time, you guys. I was like, oh, so that's how adults do it. Good to know. Good to know. At one point, I just became the DJ in the situation. I was like, oh, you guys are still going at it? Yeah, no problem. I'll put on the B-side of this Bob Marley record. Three white people having sex to Bob Marley. It's horrifying. Buffalo Soldier. Dreadlock Rasta. Fighting and a that song's about slavery, y'all. Last thing I'll do is a character for you guys. I'm gonna do a character. He's called the digging himself in and then out of a hole comedian, right? So what's gonna happen? He's gonna say something super fucked up and offensive, and you guys are gonna go boo, like really let it out. But then through sheer comedic transcendence, he's gonna tweak it and have a punchline of pure gold, Jerry Gold, and you guys are gonna go, yay! So guys, before we get to the interview part, do you guys wanna see the digging himself in and out of a hole comedian? Do you guys wanna see him? Cool. Here he goes. Hey, folks. Hello, folks. Hey, folks. Hello, folks. I don't know why he fucking does that part. Like, I find it annoying, but it's who he is, you know? Hey, folks. Hello, folks. I just want to go on record and say that I hate the Jews. For being so good looking, huh? Each and every one of them. They're adorable. Come on. I think a woman's place is in the kitchen. If the kitchen were a synonym for the Oval Office, come on, yeah. They're natural born leaders. Don't send a man to do a woman's job. Faggots make me sick. Of titties and vag, gross banging dudes is where it's at. Come on. People with cleft palates make me want to vomit. Golden coins out of my mouth so I can give them to Operation Smile. Everyone deserves a chance at love. Come on, yeah, yeah. That being said, children with terminal cancer don't deserve love. Courtney Love, that is. She's not a stable person. Come on, yeah. People who smoke marijuana should be arrested. Development staff writers, there's a lot of creativity there. Come on, yeah. Retarded people should be put in cages. Made out of chocolate. Come on, yeah. I'm John F. O'Donnell. Thank you.
Yeah, John F. O'Donnell. Please sit down. You need the mic. You need the mic.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Sweet.
God damn. Why are you here?
I got a job. Can I tell you about it?
I want you to.
Okay, cool. I'm going to be on a new television show called Redacted Tonight with Lee Camp, who's a great comedian.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be like a more radical...
Wait, isn't Lee based in Brooklyn as well?
Yeah, but he's here now, too, for the show.
Once again, why?
Because it's shooting in D.C. It's on RT America. It's their first comedy show.
That's amazing. Put your hand. That's good for all of us.
Thank you. Yeah, it's going to be. Thank you guys so much. It's going to be like a more left-wing radical going for the jugular kind of version of The Daily Show.
Get ready for most of the people in this room to harass you about hiring us after the show.
Cool.
Did you go to South by this year?
What?
Did we get South by Southwest this year?
No, I didn't do it this year.
Were you at the Hell Yes Fest in New Orleans?
I was. I think that's where we met.
That is right. Where you were.
I thought you were going to just list a bunch of stuff. Didn't get in. Wasn't there. No. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
You're one of these guys. We do the show at The Creek. I've seen you at The Creek, but I was always too intimidated to say hello.
To me?
Yes, because you're very funny.
Yeah, but I'm very nice.
Yeah, but you're still very funny.
I am pretty fucking funny.
And you're friends with Ben Kronberg.
Yes, me and
who
Ben.
Who is a fucking asshole.
Come on.
He's a friend.
Oh, okay,
But if you don't know him...
He doesn't come across as an asshole if you don't know him.
Did you see Last Comic Standing last night?
I did, and
Roseanne told them to fuck off.
Exactly, which I love. Fuck Roseanne for that. Like, what? Dude, the whole Last Comic Standing thing is a fucking sham. Yeah. Totally.
Wait,
What is the Ben? Are you friends with your friends with Ben?
Me and Ben Kronberg run a show together every week in Brooklyn.
He's trying to get people to film.
Yeah, I filmed one. You guys.
What is it?
It's #GoFuckYourself. #GoFuckYourselfBen. This is what happened.
Okay, could somebody pull out their phone and film us and everyone in the room on three saying "Go fuck yourself, Ben"? Is
that
correct?
That would be amazing.
Could somebody do this, Andrew Bucket? I'm looking at you.
All right. Cool.
You've met Andrew, right?
I do. I love
Andrew.
He's
a great guy. Both you guys are going to become best friends with him.
I know. I really love Andrew. I don't know if he's like Johnny on the spot with getting video up on his phone, but...
He let me change... Howard, is your mini computer ready to do this?
Yeah, but can I give a little bit of backstory on what happened?
Frame us perfectly, and then he talks.
Okay, so basically what happened was this. Ben Kronberg was on a show. We can't really say it by name. He was on a show called The last comedian who's trying to keep
who is
from
not
sitting
down.
Yeah, exactly. And he basically he did what he does, and basically they really want just watered down mainstream bullshit kind of hacky comedy. And Ben is a very kind of deadpan. He's got a unique thing going on, and he got some bullshit critiques, and he didn't take them. So Roseanne told him to go fuck himself. And it aired last night. And so now the thing that everybody's been doing today is everybody's been making a video saying, hey, Ben, go fuck yourself, and hashtagging it. It's all over the internet.
So everyone in the room on three, please go fuck yourself, Ben.
Go fuck yourself, Ben.
One, two, three.
Go fuck yourself, Ben!
There you go. Thank you.
Did you get it?
I think you got it.
Cool. That's awesome. And if you want to go see all of them, you go to like rebelmouse.com or
something. What the fuck is that?
I don't know. That's what it is.
Fuck you, Bucket.
Andrew, you're editing that part out, you opportunist piece of shit. You'll lose followers. You got to play it cool. At the real JFOD. At the real JFOD. J-F-O-D. At the real JFOD. Yeah.
Well, John, honestly.
people be trying to be me and shit.
I am very, very, very happy that you're here.
You going to hang out with me and shit?
Too much. Please consider doing a show at this room. We just lost probably one of the best shows in D.C. called Funny Moms. It's going to New York, so it'd be great if you could take that over. And just it's just an hour. It's 90 minutes every week of you doing nothing, just doing something without getting paid. It's going to be great. So, ladies and gentlemen, follow him on Twitter. Watch the show. Is there a premiere date?
Yeah, guys. It's on RT America, which is like a cable news channel that's in like 85 million households in America, 100 countries. But if you don't get it, you can go to RT America on YouTube. They put on the full episodes. The show's called Redacted Tonight, and the first episode is going to air next Friday, May 30th
at
8 o'clock.
That is amazing. Watch the show, because then everyone in this room could get jobs from that show.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to expand. But please, we're really trying to just really fucking go for it. It's a real, like, fuck them where they live type show.
Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for the very funny Mr. John F. O'Donnell.
Thank you so
much. Katie McD, play him off.
Brandon, thank you for having me on, man.
This music is being played specifically for our next guest. I haven't seen him in, not Andrew Haywood. I haven't seen Haywood in 7 weeks, and we do a segment on this show called Color Commentary, because if there's one thing people in a bar love to hear about, it's hot topic racist issues. Ladies and gentlemen, one of my favorite people in Washington, D.C., if not the world, please put your hands together for Mr. Haywood Turnipseed Jr. Haywood, Katie, Jamel, how is everyone?
Hey, what's up? I like that Irish shit you was playing.
Yep, that was some Irish shit.
That was awesome.
That was racist, Haywood.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
Like, between, and let me know if you agree with me. But between, like, the white girl talking about Lil Jon and scallops and the white DJ soul guy and then the white comic talking, like, quoting Ice Cube, literally, this has been the blackest show you have had. this is bullshit now. Like, color commentary done, nigga. You have fucked. Like, You literally have, I was like, and then he went buff, slavery, oh shit. I was like, did they have a bitch in bondage? What the?
You had him until that last part.
I know, I said bitch and I shouldn't have. I'm too
I don't think the bitch part was the issue.
I'm too progressive.
I don't think it was the bitch part.
This has been the, you are fucking hip, son.
Thank you.
All right.
So some stuff has happened in the last 7 weeks.
Man, it's been a while since we've seen each other, man. Like, race has become, like, the new thing. It's like, racism is the new black.
Good night.
People are literally doing it like, hey, what nigga have you oppressed this week? It was, I mean, we had the dude out in Vegas, like, with Mr. Militia and them, who's like, yo, fuck Obama, and guess what? Every black person likes slavery anyway. And I'm like,
You know what? We talk before the show every week, like, what we're going to do. I had completely forgotten about that. Like, completely.
Shit. That guy was like, and then you had, like, the other guy, what's his name, Donald Sterling Silva, who was like, yo, what? Like,
Sterling Cooper.
Whatever the fuck his name is. Or they hate niggas, too.
Draper Price.
He went crazy. Like, he was like, yo, people got, like, really ticked off. They were like, yo, hey, what? How do you feel about him saying, like, you can't come to a basketball game? He didn't say, I can't come. I can pay for a ticket. He was like, Magic Johnson can't come. He was like, fuck that nigga. Like, he bet not.
That's an actual quote.
And he did. He told Addison Cooper, fuck that nigga. He bet not come in my girlfriend. He can come on her face all he want, but not in. Well, think about it. Magic Johnson is the greatest name for a porn star that never was.
Like, no, Larry Bird is.
That would be one-on-one.
What the fuck? You looked at Jamel like he's going to laugh. Nope, that's not that funny.
He's still thinking about scallops.
I laughed at that shit.
He just felt bad.
That no, that was it's like racism is like taking. And then like Mos Def is like.
Yeah, that's fucked up. This happened today or yesterday. Mos Def can't get into the country due to immigration.
And he was born
issues.
In Brooklyn. They were like, ain't no niggas from Brooklyn. Anymore. Biggie was the last
we'll
one.
We'll be in Brooklyn at the end of June, everybody, at the Crete Note.
Yeah, you will. Yeah, Mos Def won't. How about that? You'll be in Mos Def's basement. What used to be Mos Def's basement. Fucking Weatherbean would be at that show. And Ben Cronenberg talking about hashtag, fuck you, Mos Def. How does it feel in Guatemala? How does it feel below that, Mason Dixon?
Do you think really racist porn stars refer to their waist as the Mason-Dixon line?
I do. I pray all the white girls go down south.
How are your kids?
Oh, shut up. You're going to ask me.
Oh, shit.
Just before that, when some of them still down south, motherfucker. For the people at home, I grab my balls.
He understands it's an audio podcast. He's a professional. A what else did you want to talk about?
No, I mean, it was like, and then I had a white guy come up to me, like, I have a job now.
You've had jobs before.
Well, like, you're this one I like.
Oh, what is it?
I work with Hispanics.
Okay, but what is the job?
Playing Uno. My job is to teach them it's not about the green cards.
Oh! Oh!
You don't want to laugh.
Voice number five, by the way.
That is terrible.
It really was.
That is terrible. No, so I mean, like, we you and I talked, and we talked about actually, you know, we all talk about color commentary, and I was talking to my uncle about the whole Donald Sterling incident. What is your take on that?
My take on that is obviously, but my take on that is everyone that's 80 years old and white is that racist, anyways. And the worst part about that is no one's talking about the fact that he's trying to fuck someone 50 years his minor. Like, that's not the problem. Anyone that's doing that is already horribly racist. They're just
married.
Not saying it. Yeah, just do that when you're single. There's nothing wrong with that,
right,
literally.
Right.
But to genuinely think that someone could be attracted to you that's 50 years your minor, that's the if you're that delusional, of course you're a horrible
racist.
He knows
she's not attracted to him.
No, he doesn't. That's the
problem. No, he knows.
Did you watch the Anderson Cooper
movie? Yes, I did.
He does not know.
No, he doesn't know.
He genuinely does not know.
He doesn't know that the world...
He doesn't know Anderson Cooper is gay. About 10 times in the interview,
yes, he does.
He asked him, haven't you liked a girl? No, you fucking idiot, because I'm gay and I'm open and out of bounds. That's the issue.
See, you're getting too upset. You're getting too upset. He knows Anderson's mom was Gloria Vanderbilt. And he's like, haven't you liked the girl or worn the girl's jeans?
You're giving Donald Sterling too much credit.
Nah, I mean, you mad at the dude. Like, yo, everybody over 80. Like, I know white people over 80. Like, I met a white dude today over 80.
I said anybody over 80 that's trying to fuck someone 30 years their minor that believes they can be attracted to that person.
Well, my grandfather, you would have called him a pedophile. He wasn't a racist.
Continue.
He wasn't a race. See, the thing, like, we talked about this before. Like, we don't really know. Like, your people didn't own slaves. Donald Sterling's people, the jury's out. He owns a basketball team. That's the same difference. Have you seen the combines? Have you seen the fucking combines? The only thing they don't do at the draft is catch. They don't check dick and teeth. That's the only thing they don't check. How high can you jump, Django? I say that to say, the whole thing is fucking racist.
Oh, agreed, yeah.
Like, my uncle told me, the NBA stands for Negro Be an Athlete.
Larry Bird.
And he, too, is from Indiana, the great state.
Haywood's from Indiana?
I am, and there's a new Michael Jackson record, which is why I'm not mad at the world.
That shouldn't make you mad at the world.
Fuck you. Him and Justin Timberlake mashup, that is the shit. Justin Timberlake is the blackest R&B singer on the planet right now.
Robin Thicke.
No.
Robin Thicke.
Well, he did get divorced. That is very black.
Robin Thicke is writing songs about him trying to win his current sort of ex-wife.
Yeah, she fucking
back.
Kevin Hart right about now.
Is she really?
I don't know, but she should be.
Why?
Because he's a star.
Wait, that's your one criteria? Because he's a star! Robin, that's your one criteria?
Robin Thicke is not a star. Look, if you're going to get fucked over by a star. Like, she got fucked over by Donald Sterling. Like, he didn't pay for that tape to disappear. That's all it was about. Like, yo,
agreed.
She
yeah,
was
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yo, you need to make this go away, and I'm tired of fucking you. And then he was like, okay, can we keep fucking? That's all I care about. Like, you can do what you want to do with the tape. You can even show it to Magic. I don't give a fuck. Don't bring them to my games.
You want some more juice, baby? Would you like some more juice, baby?
Some more prune juice.
This is my favorite fucking part. She offered this nigga juice like 6 times.
It was
hilarious.
And he said no, like he didn't want none. Motherfucker.
So that's your biggest problem with the tape, is he didn't accept the offer of juice.
My biggest problem with the tape is that it fucking exists and that people were talking about it like this shit doesn't exist. I'm like, listen, man, racism actually does exist. It's here in the world. But it's not that he, like, you don't have the power to control me. He has the power to control me.
How does he have the power to control
if
you?
If I buy a ticket to his game, he could be like, you sit in the Django seats. I mean, he literally could say that, you know, like, I don't want to see any of them unless they plan for me. Like, that's racism. That's the definition of it. I have the power. So what me and some of my friends did was came up with a list of people who should actually own the team.
Go ahead.
Instead of this motherfucker.
I like this. Go ahead.
Because he's dirty as shit. Like, first person should own the team is George Lucas.
That's not a bad idea.
He should name the team the Stormtroopers and piss every Donald Sterling of the world off, you motherfucker.
That's a really good idea. Go ahead.
Yeah, the Stormtroopers.
No, he.
That's what the Nazis were called, actually.
He wanted. He wanted. He wanted to build low-income housing on Starwalker Ranch years ago when his neighbors. I'm serious. Neighbors were being a dick, and he's like, "Why wouldn't you want these people? These are lovely people."
Oh, and he's married to a black woman.
He is. Yes.
And he made Tuskegee Airmen, which is a great movie.
Was it?
Not really. It wasn't as good as the Lawrence Fishburne version. But hey, you know what? My kids skipped school to see it. Think he missed the point.
What was better, the Tuskegee Airmen movie or the Tuskegee Airmen portrayed in Night at the Museum 2, Escape from the Smithsonian?
Points to Ben Stiller. Points to Ben Stiller. So who else? I said my Uncle Daryl because he's the one who always talked about this stuff. My Uncle Daryl should own the team, and he was like, we're going to name the team Da Django's. Like Da Django's, just to be like, that's right, motherfucker.
But it's an all-white team.
And all cotton jerseys. It's the fucking fabric of our lives.
There's always like 2 minutes of this segment where I know it's just for me, and that part was just for me.
Then Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah, that's good.
And just change the name to Wu-Tang Clan, because then they would never be somebody to fuck with.
Yeah. That's a cute one.
Oh, man. That's cute. That's not like, you know, that's just a hey-o.
Yeah, that is.
Bill Cosby could buy the team.
Why?
Name them the Cosby Kids. It had the Brown Hornet as the logo.
That's good.
That's the song. Fuck the Junkyard Band. Fucking Cheerleaders of the Junkyard Band. That is the shit. Halftime would be the shit. Fuck the game. It would be like a real black college basketball game.
Yo. Designer sweater print jerseys.
Oh, that's the shit, nigga. Shit. We didn't just came up with some.
Hold up.
You should.
There it is.
That's it.
Jamel and Haywood.
Breakaway.
Fuck.
Breakaway. Breakaway.
Jamel and Haywood currently have a Kickstarter going right now. It's only going to take $25,000 to get this off the ground. That's going to sell. Holy shit. Breakaway Cosby sweater jerseys.
Shit. You know you want one. You know you want one.
I want one.
Ice Cube. Jeff O'Donnell wants one. Everybody.
Yeah,
we get Rachel O'Drive one.
Just Jeff.
Shit. We get Andrew Bouquet one. That'll be the shit.
We got to wrap this up to get Bouquet on. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah. So the last person, I found out the people really are trying to buy the team. And Magic Johnson is one of the people trying to buy the team.
Yeah.
So him, fucking Janet Jackson, and Oprah have formed a coalition to actually buy the team. But you know what happened if Oprah gets the team? Of course she goes in the locker room and says, you get a championship. You get a championship. You get a championship.
You ended so fucking hack right there.
I know.
So not good. Everything else was so good. You should have made a Rhythm Nation joke. See?
Yeah, that would have been better.
Not good, but better.
Remember, well, let's keep calling them the Wu-Tang Clan.
I like the Wu-Tang. That's cute. Let's that's like a family. Wu-Tang is for the kids.
Yeah.
The children.
In closing, this is Memorial Day weekend. I fucking hate you for stepping on my shit.
I didn't step on it. You finished it. I didn't step on
it. I wasn't finished with it. In closing.
You did the Oprah thing. I gave it two more beats.
Well, it's a work in progress. Like America.
Now you're just reaching right now.
No, it's a work in progress. It's America. It's Memorial Day weekend. And this is how we're going to close on this segment, Color Commentary. As we go out this Memorial Day weekend, remember, the Memorial Day weekend was actually started by black folks. This is a true story. Look it up. It's on Snopes, Wikipedia. Somebody put it on Facebook. A few slaves in Charleston, South Carolina, decided to actually unbury some Union soldiers who were put in a mass grave. So they unburied them and reburied them and gave them actual traditional burials. And then after that, there was a parade of 10,000 people led by 2,800 slaves. And you know why they said they did it? Because they promised us the day off. And now we get Monday, Memorial Day, and it's one more thing that white folks have taken from us. The fabric of our lives. Holy days. So this Memorial Day, while you're barbecuing, thank a nigga. Just like Donald Sterling does. Pam. Pam, Pam, Pam.
Hey, weren't you in the military?
I was.
So doesn't this make this your holiday?
I'm alive, so no. Veterans Day is my personal favorite.
Sorry.
I have friends who didn't make it.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
Thank you for reminding me of why I'm going to the mall.
Sorry.
I will be rolling with those Thunders.
Sorry.
They will be rolling in. No, honestly, yes, I was in the military. I am an American. I know this land is your land. This land is my land. This land was made for you by me.
Haywood Turnipseed Jr., everybody. Katie, play him off, please. Thank you so much. We have two more things, and then we're done. We'll be done as soon-ish. This last guest of ours is someone that I've heard a lot about and I never met, and I'm very excited to have him. He's a showbiz magnet. He's been around forever. It means a lot to me that he's here. The former host of the Chief Hey How Are You Tomahawk Redskins Hour AM radio from 1945. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for the one, the only, the legend, Mr. Andrew Bouquet, everybody. Andrew Bouquet is coming to the stage. Here we go. For the listener at home, Andrew is shaking all of his fans' hands. He's trying to get to the stage as soon as possible. He's older in years, but that's okay. He's still vital and relevant.
Brandon, I've been talking to the bar staff here, and I really couldn't get enough limes. I'm still waiting. I asked for extra limes!
Andrew, for the...
And I'm still waiting for the limes!
For the listener at home, Andrew currently has...
Not enough limes for the listener at home.
10 limes on his glass.
Can I... Why are you recording on your phone? For the listener at home, I don't have enough of the limes!
I wasn't... I'm not recording
for
on my...
For you at home?
I'm not recording on my phone.
Oh, what? Oh, okay.
Now, you are a showbiz legend.
Well, Brandon, I'll tell you this. I've been in show business for 60 years.
That's a long
time. Give me a round of applause, please. Thank you. I've been in show business for 60 years. And I tell you one thing. In 1965, when I was with Faye Dunaway.
A young Faye Dunaway.
I was with Faye Dunaway.
Was she legal at the time?
Well, you know, we didn't ask those kind of questions back in 1965. And I was with Faye Dunaway and Robert Evans and Laurence Olivier. And I was at the Copacabana.
Yes.
And I asked for extra limes, and I got a whole lot more fucking limes than I got in this place. Whole lot more.
Faye Dunaway was 24 at the time, so she was legal.
Well, how did you figure that information out so fast?
I used...
You must have some kind of, like, access to some kind of, like, information network. We didn't have that back in 1965.
So besides limes, in 1965, what did you have?
Well, we had a whole lot of brilliant geniuses, auteurs, and...
Who is an auteur that has maybe been overlooked in the years?
Well, I would have to say... Crispy Jenkins. Have you heard of him?
No, I'm going to write this down so I can look it up. Crispy Jenkins. What did Crispy do?
Well, he was originally working with Jerry Lewis, but then, you know, obviously Lewis hooked up with Dean Martin, and Crispy Jenkins got pushed to the wayside.
What was his act? I'm assuming this is a he.
He was a he, but he did a lot of... you know, as you did in the time, he did a lot of mixing it up, dressing as a woman. You know, Some Like It Hot had just come out, and Jack Lemmon, who I had a big feud with because he was always ordering drinks with his lemons, and I was like, more limes!
You like limes.
I said, Jack Lemmon's always coming in here to the Copacabana Club. I was with Faye Dunaway. And he's coming in here like, lemons, lemons. And I'm like, limes, limes.
I'm with you. Okay, so.
Hey, but that was show business. Look, we're talking about Las Vegas in the 1960s. So
we're here to talk about the last 20 years.
All right.
Well, you haven't done an interview in 20 years.
No, I have been in seclusion.
Why have you shied away from the spotlight, and why did you decide to shine that light back onto a podcast format?
Well, I tell you this. I wrote a novel.
You wrote a novel?
Yes. In 1973, I wrote a novel, and it was called These Are My Details.
That's a very good title for a
Thank
novel.
Thank you, I know. Hanging out a lot with J.D. Salinger.
Really?
Yes, and I came up with where I wanted to write an autobiography of all of my show business stories, and it was called These Are My Details. And back then, we didn't have any of the internet, like the OKCupids or any of the Tinders or any of that, so we had to put all of our business into the newspaper. And so I was putting I was looking for a girl that would be happy to come over to my house and just make a paella and Finally, I find a girl from Barcelona, and there we are alone in my loft in the middle. And I was living in New York City at the time. I had a view of the Central Park, and I had this girl, Beatrice, come over, and we made a paella. Anyway, this is a chapter in my book called These Are My Details. You can get it on AmazonianWoman.com. But anyway, what was your question? I'm sorry.
Why did you decide to come out of seclusion?
Oh, I came out of seclusion because J.D. Salinger died, and I decided, he lived his life in seclusion, and I'm trying to not be in seclusion anymore. And so here I am. I got a lot of show business stories to tell you. I've been in show business for 60 years. I started in 1945.
It sounds like you were in show business for 30 years, wrote a book, did nothing with the book for 20 years, and the last 20 years just did nothing.
Well, what were you going to do in the 80s? You had your Madonnas coming out, and you had your Princes. Prince was out here, like, what is a man? What is a woman? Where's the place for me? I'm a showbiz man, okay? I'm the strong, silent type, or... You know, and so you've got Prince out here, you've got Madonna, and your Cindy Loopers out here, do we have a waiter or something? I really could use a couple more lines.
Dario, if you can cut up like four more lines.
If there's any more line, I know there's a shortage, okay, but if we could please get a couple more limes. On stage.
Do you have a disease that maybe you need a lot of citrus in your diet?
Well, I do have an English background, and scurvy does run in my genetic sort of, you know...
How many sexual partners and or conquests do you think you have?
Well, not including Faye Dunaway, I would say...
Not including Faye Dunaway.
No, probably 420 partners, I would think.
420?
Yeah, well...
What's your favorite time of day?
My favorite is 6... 690, is that a con? Sorry. No, 3:11 p.m.
I feel like you just said that because you've listened to the show and you know that's
Brandon,
my favorite time
I
of day.
Brandon, can I ask you a question?
Please do.
How long have you been in show business?
The Great White Way or other?
Brandon, let's be honest. And be honest with your audience because we're all here and we're all sharing things. How long have you been in show business?
I'd say a solid decade.
A decade in show business.
A decade in show biz.
And you used to be a part of that whole emo thing.
I was a big part of the emo thing.
You were an emo singer.
I was an emo singer, that's
correct. What's the most emo thing you ever sang?
I had a Dashboard Confessional cover band.
Oh,
but,
wow.
But
I don't know what that means.
Don't worry about it. But the thing is, we didn't even plug in. I just read the lyrics.
They didn't have dashboards when I started show
really?
Business.
Really? Just no, carriages.
That was an added safety feature after Ralph Nader. They started adding dashboards to cars. So, but anyway, go on.
Oh, I was just saying, we didn't even have instruments. We just staged Dashboard Confessional poetry readings.
That's fair. And hey, I would. By the way, can we get the limes up here? Go on. What have you?
I think I was done.
Oh, sorry. You said you were dashboarding and confessioning
yes.
all over the place.
You know what emo is, but you don't know what that band is.
I know what I know what emotions. Well, can I tell you about Faye Dunaway?
How did you and Faye meet?
I met Faye Dunaway at the Copacabana.
You own the Copacabana?
No,
you seem to be there a lot.
No, but I was with Robert Evans, and I was with Laurence Olivier. I met Faye Dunaway. She had had one too many martinis. And
people don't like that.
Who booed me? Can we get security to escort this little girl out of here who just booed me? I was with Faye Dunaway and Laurence Olivier.
Thank you so much, Haywood. Haywood just brought up another
class. About time. What am I, in the third world?
Well, actually, there's probably a lot more limes in the third world in certain places.
That's true. That's where they come from.
Wait, you could have been doing that all night and you waited till 80 minutes into this epic show?
Two gin and tonics in, I just discovered that.
Oh, thank God. All right, I think I'm finally at a critical mass here with my limes.
If we're ordering drinks, Dario, could I get another Whiskey Club soda with a lime, please?
So, Brandon, is this how you run your show? You don't even check in with your audience? How's everybody doing out there tonight? Are you guys having fun?
Do you see
fun?
Why I didn't check in with my audience?
Well, now I feel a little ashamed.
Have you ever felt shame in your life?
I feel shame all the time, especially about my second wife.
What happened with her? What's her name?
Faye Dunaway.
Oh, my God. I think our musician...
I just went to the Portrait Gallery in Washington, D.C. today, and I saw a portrait of Faye Dunaway when we had first met. She was wearing the brassiere that I bought her for her 32nd birthday. Well, I tell you,
I don't know where to go with this, buddy. I'm sorry.
Listen, Brandon, there's nowhere to go. I'll just tell you the end of the story.
Please do.
We broke up, and I realized that companionship is only a brief distraction from the ultimate doom that we all face, that we're going to die alone and in a strange place. And now Faye is dead, and I'm sitting here on a...
Well, I don't think she's dead.
I'm... She's not dead.
I don't think
she hasn't called me in 20 years, Brandon.
No, she's not dead. I think you and her could rekindle that.
Is she on Facebook or Tinder?
I think she's on at least MySpace. That didn't land at all. She's on Tinder. Yeah, she's
MySpace
on Tinder.
Is funny because it's like an old website.
That is like, that's why I said that. Yeah. What if I said Friendster? Do you think that would have landed more? A little bit more, not much.
It's a little funnier. Brandon,
there's
this thing we used to do in improv called you go A to C. Do you know what that means?
I actually don't.
No, okay. Well, I'm going to yes and you right now, and then...
Real Faye Dunaway...
One laugh for the guy that's ever heard of improv.
Real Faye Dunaway on Twitter has only 10,000 followers.
It's Real Faye Dunaway, as if there's a fake Faye Dunaway?
Yeah. She currently lives in West Hollywood.
Don't follow the fake Faye Dunaways, because there's a real one. Just search it on Twitter. I was in Las Vegas in 1952 with Robert Evans and Faye Dunaway and Laurence Olivier, and we were at the Flamingo. And I ordered a gin and tonic, and Frank Sinatra was famous for not paying his bill. And so he didn't pay his bill, and Faye Dunaway tried to write a check. And they're like, what's a check? And I'm like, I have cash, but I only have Cuban money. This is pre-embargo. And so I pay the tab at the Flamingo. And can I tell you something? Frank Sinatra never paid me back. Not once. Except I saw him in New York City in 1973. This is when the punk music had just come out. And so Frank Sinatra was at a Ramones concert. And
he went to a concert that predated the band, the Ramones.
And he was fist pumping. Frank Sinatra was wearing a gray suit and a cool hat. And he was fist pumping in the front row. And
there were rows?
Yeah, and Lou Reed was there. And Lou Reed sold me fake ecstasy. And
there was ecstasy in 1973?
I'm sorry. Can we get somebody to scoop up some of these limes? I got too many limes up here. Anyway, yeah, but long story short, me and Faye Dunaway.
This is the long story short?
Long story short, me and Faye Dunaway, we went home and we had a blast. We drank many lime Rickies. And, you know, and I'm so happy to be here with you and being back into show business, so.
Well, welcome back. We'll have you back.
And thank you for having me.
Anytime. You're a delight.
This was a blast.
You're an inspiration and you're a legend. I'd love to hear some more of those Ramones stories that predate the band The Ramones.
Well, if you buy my book, These Are My Details, it's on Amazon.com. 60 years worth of show business stories. And, yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Please put your hands together for the one, the only, the legend, Andrew Bouquet, everybody.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, the end is near. Did you like that? Because it's referencing Frank Sinatra, who you just referenced. Perfect.
Who I don't like. We are not friends. Are
you the basket? No. We have one final aspect of the show tonight, and that's one final song.
Is that okay?
Yeah. One final song from Katie McDee. K Katie is a very wonderful person. She's played 8x8 many times. To me, she has an Eleanor Friedberger vibe. Is that, or is it Friedberger or Friedberger? What's the name? Is it Burger or Berg? Whatever. People could find these songs online where? You have a band camp. I know that.
Yeah.
Don't ever try to find these songs on the internet.
No, you can find, I have thehoneybear.bandcamp.com, some old stuff on there, and I have a new project going, lolaoblongata.bandcamp.com.
It's really great to see a performer that takes pride in their projects, like, you just complete not shame at all. I really dig it. Give her your ears, give her your eyes, put your hands together one last time for Katie McDee, everybody.
This is obnoxious. I would have done, you know, like the whole, like, I would have done that earlier, but it's kind of like sriracha sauce. Like, once you start using it, it just overpowers everything, and it's just too much. That was awful. Sorry.
You're going to do this, and it's going to be amazing. And people are. Performer tells the people that were about to clap for her not to clap for her. That was really good. Don't be ashamed of it. God damn it. Turn this goddamn circus music off. Katie, are you glad you did this? Honestly, I can't tell. Are you sure about that? I guess so. That's the response I thought I would get. Well, I enjoyed it quite a bit, and I hope you didn't hate your time here.